Amen. Amen. Well done. Well done, girls. Well done, boys. I am going to invite all the kids to actually come sit up here at the front if they want, obviously. I can't force them to do anything, but come sit at the front with me, guys. Still a bit of feedback up here. How many of you know what today is? Yes. Excellent. And thank you for putting up your hand just like a classroom.
I couldn't put up my hand when I kindergarten.
Good boy. That's great. So it's Easter Sunday. I want to focus on a particular part of the story this morning because, you know, we kind of have the benefit of the whole story, right? We have the benefit of the Jesus movies. We have, you know, the Jesus of Nazareth, all that's like we've seen stuff, we've read the story, maybe you've been to a lot of Easter services in your lifetime, but I want to just for a moment transport back to what it would have been like then. Because if anybody ever came up to you once and said, I'm going to die, but then I'm going to come back to life, you would not believe them. Would you believe them? No? Right? Because that doesn't happen. Anybody or anything that we've ever lost, whether it's a pet or whatever, it doesn't matter how much they might promise to come back or how much we want them to come back. No one ever comes back. And yet, Jesus says, I'm going to die, but in 3 days, I'm going to come back to life. Do you think you would have believed Jesus? Oh, you people of faith. Isn't that amazing? This beautiful, beautiful faith of these young children. You know, what we would have seen on the third day is these people are so full of grief that they're still gathered together, grieving together. And I can tell you, based on the story, if you've ever read any of the accounts in the Gospels, is that none of them are believing for a third day raised from the dead thing. None of them. Now these people are close to Jesus, yes? These people are his, whatever you want to call them, they're his best friends. These are his closest relationships. And even though they had seen him do extraordinary things, they still don't believe. Now I want to encourage you all that there are going to be days when you still won't believe for things or promises that God has given you, okay? And so I want you to actually be encouraged a little bit by their unbelief. All right? Because sometimes we try and think, no, I can never be like that. I always have to believe. I always have to be full of faith. The reality is the practicality of faith-filled living is hard. Some days are easy because there's money in the bank, you know, all the bills are paid, family life is good, work life is, amen, I'm full of faith this morning, let's go to church, it's going to be great. But what about when things are totally out of your control? It's really hard to believe on those days that everything's going to be okay because God's on the throne, because he says he's got good plans in store for you. But that's exactly what Jesus was anticipating. He said, I gave you the promise, you should know. But that's not what's going on. Yes, buddy, do you have a question?
God told me something.
God told you something. What did he tell you? That's all right. Just stay tuned. Yeah? Just stay tuned, right? That's what someone told Samuel one day. Just stay tuned. That's actually God talking. So, Aisha's not impressed with my teaching, obviously. That's all right. You win some, you lose some. So, they would have all gathered around. Now, what the women would customarily do would be in order to keep going to see a body that's decomposing, you would put spices on it. I don't know if you know the context of why Mary and those other women would go with spices, but in order to keep visiting a decaying body, this is just, you know, the physicality of things, it would smell. And so they would actually put spices on the linen cloth so that people could continue to go and visit. And that's exactly what they're doing. So they're, again, not excited. Oh, it's day three. You know, woo, it's going to be, you know, they're just sad. Really, really sad. Going to see the body. Going to put the spices. So there they are walking down. And they are greeted by something they are not anticipating. A, the tomb stone is rolled away. All right? This is not a little tiny feat. This is not a little boulder. This is a big stone. All right? It's there before they asked anyone. It's gone before they asked anyone to open it. So they're like, okay, this is not what we were expecting. Whatever. Then they go into the tomb, and the tomb is empty. And then they are greeted by angels. All right? Who thinks this is a pretty fantastical kind of a story? Yes? So far? Yeah? Greeted by some angels? Would you be scared if you saw an angel?
No way!
Oh, that's great. Again, this little Christ-like faith these children have. I think I would have been terrified if I was in a tomb expecting to see a dead friend. And instead, we're greeted by two angels. And they say, don't be afraid. Isn't that funny how the angels always say, don't be afraid? That's because people are always terrified when they see them, right? Plus, this is not what we were expecting. So, the angels basically say to them, it's okay. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? Now, do you think they put everything together in that second? What are they looking for? What are they looking for in the tomb?
Yes.
Oh, Jesus, sorry. You're too slow. He didn't put his hand up. Next time. Jesus, their dead friend. And the angel says, why are you looking for the living among the dead? And then it sort of says that they start putting some things together and they remember. Oh, yes. Jesus actually said that he would be raised to the dead. It says it in Mark 8 and Matthew chapter 16. It's in two different places. So Jesus said that so those ladies come back to this group of grieving people with a very, very different story. What did they come in and say? Great! Isn't that great news? Excellent! Now, it actually says, if you read through the Luke account in Luke chapter 24, that there was three of them, but there was actually a big group of them. And they come back to this, their group of friends, and they have this fantastic account that they went to the tomb, stone was rolled away, Jesus isn't there, saw some angels, they told us he's alive, but they actually haven't seen Jesus yet. So, what does Peter do?
I need to say it for myself.
Right? Exactly. That's exactly what Peter does. In fact, the whole group of disciples that are there grieving think that the women are just making up a story. Why? Because what we know in nature is that people don't come back to life. The proof that we have through all the life experience that we have had is that people don't come back from the dead. You can say it all you want, but it just doesn't happen, does it? Don't you think it would have been nice if their friends believed them, though? Aren't we buddy? Aren't we friends? All right, and this is not, you know, like a chauvinistic thing. Well, it's ladies, what do they know? Sure, girls, whatever, you know. But Peter, and actually not just Peter, but John actually shot up themselves and said, hold on, I got to go see what's happening for myself. And so they run off, they run down to the tomb, and what do they discover? It's empty. Thank you, John T. I appreciate that. I mean, Peter. It's empty. So, what do we have now? What we have are a few first-hand accounts of an empty tomb. But do you think that they're all thinking, oh, that means that he's alive? What do you think they're thinking? Yes. He was dead for 3 days, wasn't he? They probably didn't think he was coming back to life. Yes.
He may have fell off the bed.
Now, none of them thought to look behind. Behind the stone. Of course he could have been there. He could have just fallen off, right? They also thought that maybe somebody or some people had taken the body. Right? Because they haven't actually seen Jesus yet up until this point. You've seen him before. Where?
When I was going camping.
And while you were camping. Maybe that was his daddy with a bigger beard. Sorry. He thought he saw Christ. That's amazing. So, you have this room full of people. Now, do you think they want Jesus to be alive, though?
Yes.
Here's what I've learned in life. I think we want to believe in the impossible, but it's hard. That's the truth. You know, sometimes you come by people and, you know, they're really full of faith. These are people that really believe, and they believe God can do anything. But when you're going through a hard time, it's even hard to hear that. You're like, yes, yes, I know. Yes, that's great for you, all that sort of stuff, but you don't know what I'm going through. And for that group of people that day, they would have been like, yeah, but you don't know what we're going. We lost our friend, and now we don't know where he is. We don't know where the body is. Where is he? Yes, he is actually up in heaven with his family. So, it's a tough moment. And what we see is the impossible taking place. This is the impossible. This is the great thing. This has never happened before. No one has ever said, I'm going to come back from the dead and actually come back from the dead. Now, during Jesus' ministry, he raised people from the dead, didn't he? Yes? But the thing that we know about those people that came back from the dead is that another day came that they died. They came back to from the dead for a season, but then they all returned to the ground, right? But Jesus is alive. He conquered death, no longer to die again. He conquered death. The hold that death has on all of humanity has no hold over Jesus Christ. Because he defeated death. That's what that means. He wasn't like, I'm going to come back to life for another 12 months and then, but then I got to die again. No more. And what Jesus is saying in doing this is, I've done the impossible. The thing that had never been done, the thing that could never be conquered, through Jesus Christ was conquered. And so I am sure that these guys then were all talking, oh, maybe he's alive. What if he's alive? The angel said that he's alive. Then Jesus actually appears to Mary, doesn't he? She doesn't even know who it is because she's not expecting to see Jesus alive. Do you understand how far-fetched this is? That when Mary sees Jesus Christ for herself in the flesh, she still disconnect. And she's saying, oh, I'm sad. Can you please tell me where you've taken the body? And he says, Mary, it's me. What we have are over 500 eyewitness accounts that follow of people actually seeing and hearing Jesus. All right, so do you think you'd believe that Jesus Christ is alive today if just Mary And Peter said, yeah, we saw the empty tomb. He's alive. Right? Not really. I'm not sure I would. Just off the word of two people who didn't actually see him at all. But, you know, they're nice people, so I'm going to take their word for it. That's like me telling you I've caught a great white shark. Well, I'm nice. Don't you believe me?
My grandpa just got a long, long time ago.
Okay. He's very interactive. That's okay. That's okay. But what Jesus went, that's okay. What Jesus goes on to do is actually show himself, actually reveal himself to people. Actually, Jesus even eats with people. But in amongst this crowd of people, there was somebody missing on that day, even when Mary came back with a testimony that she had seen Jesus. Thomas wasn't there. Thomas missed Mary's big announcement, but he heard about it and he still wasn't sure. And so what did Thomas say?
Guys, I have to see Jesus for myself to believe he's not in the tomb.
Okay, so this one statement of Thomas labels him forever. What do we call Thomas? Doubting Thomas. Like, imagine we all got labeled off of one bad thing that came out of our mouth. You know, Andrew the liar. Well, you told that lie that one day, and now you're labeled for all of history. Do you know that Thomas went on to become a martyr?
Yes.
Thomas went on to go into the East and bring the gospel message. And yet, even though there were eyewitness accounts and he heard the story from people he considered to be close friends, he still was challenged to believe. Again, here's what I want to reiterate. It's hard to believe in the impossible. It's hard. It's hard to be a person of faith. It's hard to just accept and say, well, if he says it's true, it's true. But that's what we are asked to do. That's what we are asked to do. In fact, when we tell people about Jesus Christ, that's what we're asking them to do. You need to believe in faith that A, Jesus actually came back from the dead, that he's alive today, that he went to the cross for your sin, and that you need him to be king of your life. And he's the only way to meet our Father in heaven. It's asking people to believe in the impossible. That's why, even though there were over 500 eyewitness accounts, even though we have a stack of proof of the reality of Jesus Christ and the impossible miracle of his resurrection, there are people who still don't believe. And you think, well, we have lots of evidence. Yes, we do. But our journey with God is always a faith journey. It's not about having all the answers. It's about one day coming to the point where you just say, you know what? Based on all that I've experienced, the truth that I hear about Jesus Christ is the thing that resonates more in me than all the other things I've heard. And you know what? Jesus did not have a problem with Thomas's doubt. That's the good news. Jesus doesn't walk into the room and call him the doubter. Hey, doubter. You know, like he doesn't point him out. He doesn't say, hey, Peter, hey, Mary, hey, guys who believed in me, hey, Thomas. Actually, what happens, what we hear in the account, is Jesus walks right over to Thomas, walks right up to him and says, here, feel my hands. He opens up his garment and says, here, feel my side, where the spear went into his side. Jesus doesn't have a problem with our doubt, but he asks us to believe in faith based on his track record. Based on being the only one in all of history that ever fulfilled his promise to say, I'm going to come back from the dead on the third day. And he did it. He did it. And God asks us today to believe in faith in his son, Jesus Christ. The impossible guy. The guy who did the one thing that no one else in history has ever done. Every other good person, every other even prophet of other religions, they're all in the same place right now. They're all dead. But Jesus Christ is alive. His promises are always ones that you can count on. There were many prophetic words in the Old Testament that Jesus Christ would die. Even in Matthew chapter 16, they allude to the fact that Jonah, who remembers Jonah? What happened to Jonah? Aren't you Carrie and Mash's kid? No, I'm just kidding. do you remember who Jonah is?
Yes.
What happens to Jonah? He gets swallowed by a fish. Do you remember it now?
Yes.
Does he come back out of the fish? Yes, she does. I know. Your grandma knows so many Bible stories. Does he come back out of the fish?
Yeah, and he stayed in there for 3 days, and then he went out.
Exactly. Who else stayed in the ground for 3 days? Jesus.
He spat him out.
The fish spat him out. That's true. All right, so in Matthew, he says that he would be like Jonah. For 3 days, he would go in. For 3 days. Jesus was dead, but on the third day he came back to life. How many of you believe that Jesus is alive? You just want to answer every question. How many of you believe that Jesus is alive today?
Yes.
Yes? I would say there's, and that's great. That's very, very good, kids. Good to see that you guys believe that in your hearts. But I just want to take this opportunity today. I don't want to miss this opportunity today. Because there might be some of us here in the room who, yeah, I've heard this story, and some people sort of write this stuff off. Yeah? Yeah, it's Easter, yes, the bunnies and the cross and all that sort of stuff, and it's just... But the reality is, we believe in people in history, like Caesar. How many of you believe in Caesar? Do you believe he existed? Do you know that there are not as many eyewitness accounts of Caesar as there are of the resurrected Jesus Christ? And yet we have a much easier time believing that Caesar was a reality than Jesus Christ. Over 500 sightings, hearings, people feeling his body, all that sort of stuff, even eating with him. And yet some people still have a hard time believing. And so I just want to create a space this morning just to throw a challenge. And I know that it's an impossible sometimes thing to consider, but in faith that you might believe this morning in Jesus Christ, that maybe, just maybe, he is who he says he is, and that he is the one who's alive, that he is actually the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And just as he loved them, all the wonderful group of people back then, he loves us all the same still today and is calling us to himself. Yeah? So if we could all just bow our heads and close our eyes. I just want to pray for two things this morning. The first is, maybe you're here this morning and you're hearing this and you're thinking to yourself, you know what? This just, it really seems true. As I'm listening to this, and I'm maybe running out of reasons why I shouldn't believe. And maybe after hearing this story told this way this morning, maybe you'd like to say, you know what? I'd like to make Jesus, the one who did the impossible and came back from the dead, I'd like to make him in charge over my life. And just with every eye closed and every head bowed, if that's you here this morning, I just want to pray with you. If there's anyone, just put your hand up. If that's you, Okay. Is there anybody else? Thank you. Is there anybody else? That's all right. God, I thank you for every hand that went up. God, I thank you that this truly is a morning where we see Jesus Christ for who he is, and there are people who are recognizing him in their life for who he is, which is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one who rightfully belongs in control of our lives. God, I just pray that as they make this faith step, they ask for forgiveness of their sin. God, I pray that they would experience the joy that comes, the peace that comes from knowing Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Make that such a reality to them today. God, I just want to ask for one more thing. If there are people here this morning who maybe your faith is not as strong as it has been in the past, maybe you're being faced with something that is really challenging you, and you know the promises, you know all of this stuff, but to be honest, that your faith is not in a God of the impossible right now. It's just really shaky. And I just believe that God wants to create this space for you to just encourage you in your faith. To believe that if he raised Christ from the dead and if he dwells within you, that you have access to all of him. And that he will always be faithful in your circumstances. If that's you here this morning, I just want to pray a prayer of encouragement over you right now. Just put your hands up if that's you. Anybody, thank you. Is there anybody else this morning? Just God's just stirring up your faith. Yeah, that's me. I'm being real challenged right now. Anybody else? Thank you. You know, I think we're just being honest when we say that we all struggle sometimes like Thomas. But thank God that Jesus doesn't have a problem. And we can actually pray prayers like, God, help us with our unbelief. And God, I just pray that prayer over those who raised up their hands, maybe those who didn't feel like they could. God, I pray that as we're reminded of the impossible story of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, God, that our faith would be stirred to begin to believe again for the circumstances that we're in. God, to begin to believe again for the relationships that we're in. God, to begin to believe again for the promises that you've given that haven't come to pass yet. God, to begin to believe again for those things that maybe we've given up on because they didn't happen fast enough or they didn't happen in the way that we thought they should. But God, that our faith would this morning be stirred to believe that we serve a God of the impossible, that he can do all things, and that you will honor your promises. You always have, and you always will. When Jesus Christ came back from the dead, the plan of salvation that God set in motion before the foundations of the world was fulfilled. He is always good on his promises. And God, we just pray that this morning we would all be stirred up in our faith to be believers, to be people who walk out into the circumstances of life and interact with real people, sharing hope and faith. Because we serve a great God. God, stir us up, I pray. In your mighty and precious Son's name, amen. Amen. Now, kids, here's what we're going to do to finish off this morning. We are going to sing one more song, but you get to participate. You get to take one of these, those. Can someone go get that box for me?